Now, Paul concludes chapter 2 by looking at the right perspective. Follow in verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. This is another reason we believe Paul is writing predominantly to Jewish people, because they were the only ones who practiced circumcision. Therefore, verse 26, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now the Jews practiced a circumcision of the male child on the eighth day. Paul refers to that in another passage. He says, I am a Jew more than any of the rest of you. I was circumcised the eighth day. It was a sign of the covenant, the relationship that they had as a special people chosen by God with God. The Jews took some pride in that symbol, but they missed the real significance of it. It was not the physical act alone that was important. What was important was what was in the heart. Dr. John MacArthur, in his comments on this passage, says the outward symbol was nothing without the inward reality. You could be circumcised, but if you didn't live by the law, or if you lived as if the law didn't mean anything, then your circumcision didn't mean anything. In fact, and this would have been a tremendous shock, what Paul says in this passage, to the Jews who first read it. Paul says that if a Gentile who was never circumcised, and that meant that he was outside of the covenant with God according to the Jews, but if he kept the law, Paul says he was as good as any Jew. He will be as acceptable to God as the Jews would be. That was scandalous to a Jewish audience. In verse 27, he even pushes it a little bit further when he says that a righteous Jew will sit in judgment over, a righteous Gentile, one who keeps the law, will sit in judgment over unrighteous Jews. Now, this is not some type of end-time judgment. Nowhere in the Bible, when it talks about the judgments, like the great white throne judgment or the judgment of the Gentiles, etc., nowhere do we have a judgment described as the Gentiles sitting in judgment over the Jews. So Paul is not talking about some end-time judgment here. It's more likely that Paul means that when a Gentile lives righteously, then his or her life sits in judgment over the Jews who are not living righteously. It makes the sinfulness of the unrighteous Jews even more evident. It passes judgment on their lives. Now, the Jews had all of the spiritual advantages. In fact, Paul is going to come back and talk about that a little bit in chapter 3. But even with all of the spiritual advantages, and we saw that list, they were all true. Even with all of the spiritual advantages that God had given to the Jews, it was nothing if they looked for righteousness simply in the fact that they had the list, or even that they kept the list. Now, Paul wraps up chapter 2 with another statement that would shock any good Jew. He says in verse 29, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. That is, a real Jew is not a physical thing. A real Jew is a spiritual issue. It's a heart issue, not some physical identification. Outwardly, the Jews were descendants of Abraham. They could be identified by a physical characteristic. But the outward has no real value. It has no real significance except as a sign of what's in the heart. If the heart isn't right with God, then circumcision is simply a matter of the cutting of the flesh. Real circumcision is a work of grace in the heart. Now, when Paul says circumcision is in the spirit and not in the letter, he might be referring to the Holy Spirit. And if your translation of the Bible has capitalized the word spirit, then that is how the translators of your particular translation of the Bible understand it. He could also be referring to the spirit of man, and there are some commentators who believe that he's referring to the spirit of man. In that case, it should be a small s in your translation. And if he's referring to the spirit of man, then that becomes synonymous with what he has said about the heart. I think it makes more sense in the context of the passage to understand this as referring to the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying that true righteousness comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, not from some outward, external list that men have produced. And then he ends the chapter with this statement, "Whose praise is not from men, but from God." And there's a little play on words here. The word Jew comes from the word Judah, which means to be praised or is associated with the word praise. So Paul is saying, whose praise, and that is not the word Judah, it's not the word Jew, it's a different word, but it's sort of a play on words here, because the Jews were praising themselves because of how special they were and all the things God had given them. So now he says their praise is not from men, but from God. He's saying someone who is praised, that's the Jewish people, is someone who doesn't have a list, but who is praised by God. Not by what they do, not by the list they keep, but because their hearts are right with God. The right perspective when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to the gospel, is that it's all about God and what He has done through Jesus and what He has given us in Jesus. It's not about an outward sign. It's not about a list of things that we do or a list of things that we avoid doing. You see, when you have a list and you say, "I keep this list, it'll make God happy, it'll make me right with God, God will favor me because God will bless me because of it," it makes it all about you and not about God. Now again, let me say, there are things the Bible says we are to do, and there are things the Bible says we are not to do. We're not talking about what the Bible says. We're talking about what people say. Paul made that very clear at the beginning of this passage when he says, "Jews, you think you're right with God because you're a Jew, because you were given the Word of God, because of this, that's your list." You can't get into the Christian life by keeping a list of things, and you cannot live the Christian life by keeping a list of things. We do things, the things the Bible says, not to be made righteous or not to get in special with God. We do them because we have been made righteous, and righteous people live a certain way. We do them because we love God and we want to please Him. When that is our motivation, then we are living, Paul says, in the Spirit and not in the letter of some list. You see, we need righteousness. We need the gospel because we are sinners. And God in His grace has made it possible for any of us to be made righteous, to have the righteousness of Jesus imputed into our lives. given into our lives. You cannot become righteous by following someone's list. The only way that you can be made righteous is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not keeping some list, it's the gift of God. That is the gospel. That is the message of the gospel. And if you are here today with us at Schuylkill Valley, or you're watching over Facebook Live, or perhaps listening over Uber Conference today, and you don't know Jesus, you say, that's the first time I've heard the gospel that way. I have been trying all my life to be a good person. I'm nice to people. I help little old ladies cross the street. I take food to people who are hungry. Listen, you can do all those things and never make it into heaven. It has always amazed me in the book of Matthew when Jesus said, there will be those who say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do certain things? And he's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. Do you realize that some of the things that they claimed to have done were miracles? Didn't I do miracles in your name? People can do miracles and still not make it into heaven. And that's because it's not about what they do. It's not about what they did. You see, those people were dependent on what they did. We did this, we did this, we did this, we did this, led us into heaven. It's not about that. It's about what Jesus did on the cross. It's about receiving what he did for us. You cannot work your way into God's heaven. You can only get there through the person of Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, if you have not recognized that and you have not come to a place where you say, God, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus, and I want to accept what he did for me. If you haven't come to that place, you can simply do that today. You can simply come before God and say, God, I accept what Jesus did on the cross, his payment for my sin, and I want his righteousness. I'm not perfect. I'm not good, but I'll accept his righteousness. And if you do that, the Bible says you will be saved. And we'd love to know if you do that. If you're watching today, if you're listening today, and you say, I've done that, contact us this week and let us know. Pastor Steve, it made sense today. For the first time, perhaps in your entire life, it began to make sense, and you received Jesus Christ. That's faith. Can I tell you this? Even if it doesn't make sense and you do it by faith, you'll be saved. There's a lot about the Bible and a lot about salvation that from a human perspective does not make any sense. I mean, does it really make sense that God would impute the righteousness of Jesus to me? Makes no sense. It's called grace. We don't deserve it. God gives it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that in your divine wisdom, you made it possible for us to go from spiritual death to spiritual life, to go from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. You made it possible for us to have our sins forgiven and to have the righteousness of Jesus imputed into our lives. We don't deserve it. It does not make us perfect. It simply makes us forgiven and right with God. Lord, help us not to work to be saved. Help us not to work just to make you happy. Help us to work because we have been saved and because we love you and we want to serve you. Lord, if there's anyone listening today who has given their life to Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would bless them. Help them to get into a good Bible-teaching church somewhere. Help them to read the Word of God. Help them to grow in their faith and in their knowledge of the Word of God. Lord, bless them. Father, help us as we go out this week to do the things the Bible teaches because the Bible teaches it and because we love you and we want to serve you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.